Cello von MMA Cocktail. Wir hatten heute ein Interview mit Andre Ewell, Fighter aus der UFC, und hat uns ein bisschen was erzählt von seiner Zukunft, Vergangenheit und von seiner Karriere in der UFC. Und ja, hört es euch an, schaut rein und lasst ein Like da bei Instagram, bei YouTube. Und wir hören uns bald wieder beim Podcast mit mir und Toni. Und ja, macht's gut, bleibt gesund, bye bye.
So you're at the gym right now?
Oh yeah, that is definitely what I am at.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm gonna get some little room real quick. But yeah, so definitely at the gym right now. Over here, you know, getting my sparring in that I need to do. But I'm all here.
All right. So yeah, we're just a new show in Germany. We're two fight fans and looking to bring the sport around in Germany. So we're looking to make some interviews with German fighters and also with like international fighters like some of you. So we're big fans of you and your style. And so we are very thankful to have you with us tonight. So let's just jump right into it. No work around it. So how you been, Andrew?
I've been definitely good. Definitely good. You know, over having like the ants in the pants type movement of ready to fight, you know. I'm just waiting for someone to say yes so we can go ahead and get me back up in there and get back on the winning streak. Because, yeah. Hey, got to do my work.
Yeah, I've seen that you're not booked in the next 3 months, so you're looking into it right now, right? I guess.
Yeah, definitely looking into it. Sooner the better. That's why I kind of like, look at it like I'm literally in shape for it all, whatnot. Just got to end up burning some of the bacon off of me, you know. But yeah. So as of right now, they're saying if I get a full camp, it'll end up being July. But I feel like July is like really far. Yeah. And your boy got like stuff to do in life. So I want to end up punching people and get back up in there so I can be relevant instead of unrelevant. Yeah.
And so that's true to the game. You have to stay relevant, right? So let's jump to the next question. My question is, are you training all year round or are you just training for the fight camps? But I'm guessing you're training all year round. So.
Oh, yeah. Definitely training all year round. Just the fact is in like, I was just telling my coach not too long ago earlier that I'm getting old, so it's like one of those situations I gotta stay in shape and busy, you know. Yeah. So I gotta be moving forward.
So how's it with the COVID thing? You training around it or is that not an interference for you right now?
Definitely not an interference. After you know the whole false testing and everything, that they kind of like pushed it on the background. So at the moment, we're moving around it and definitely staying clear. Some of the side of my training camp or training partners or training coaches and whatnot already took the shot. So yeah. They're like all vaccinated and whatnot. And me, I'm just moving forward because, hey, since I'm just very healthy. I'll just go ahead and tell you that.
Yeah. So let's talk about your last, last three or four fights in the UFC. You lost a lot, last one against a very good striker, Gutierrez. And before that, you fought two very great fights and won that. We've seen your fighting style. Your fighting style is with such with your long limbs, your long arms and long legs, you're fighting from the distance. You're fast as fuck, but I don't know how to say it otherwise. So you're very fast, and that's what keeps us attached to your style. So What's it like to fight in the UFC against such your first fight? Let's call it your first fight against Barão, a former champ. What was it like to go to Brazil and fight on the main card? Like it was a short notice fight, right?
Oh, definitely short notice fight, and it was amazing. Granted, like the experience building up wasn't as all great And then, too, your boy on the other line, he was trying to call, so I probably think you probably want to try and reach out to him. So, so back up on it. It was fun. Man, Hindenbrow, like, fighting in Brazil, being my debut for the UFC, it was amazing. And like I stated, like, the buildup was automatically awkward, like all the doctor runs I had to end up doing or they kept on throwing at me. And then the other side of him not making weight, because, you know, him not making weight really saved him from getting knocked out by me. And then going back into, like, the last fight, Chris is a good striker. Granted, I feel like I'm better, but stuff ends up becoming short on short nights or not your night or whatnot. You got to think about it. I went for an awkward takedown that I normally don't do, and that's the one I try to, like, throw in, but walked into a knee that people felt that I was hurt, but definitely wasn't hurt. It's just...
He grazed you. It was just like graze, right?
100% graze. And you end up seeing me basically smile it off right at the end. And yeah. On top of it was
just like this one.
Yeah, there it is. It was just like that because, you know, he knows I was winning. I felt a lot of people felt that I won that round, but it is what it is. You know, they felt like that was a big difference to changing it, which we all know it shouldn't be that way, but it is what it is. But again, nothing but points to the man. The dude did his job, and hopefully we get to run that back. And if we don't, then it is what it is. But if we do, definitely going for his neck. And that's everybody's neck. Because from now on, everybody getting knocked out. I'm letting everybody know that, except Cody. Cody, Stanman. I'm about to choke the shit out of him. Excuse my cursing, but he's going to get choked out. But besides that, everybody else is getting knocked out. Point period blank.
That's the way. So my next question is about getting kicked in the knee. So that was a thing in the last three fights for you to be kicked in the knee, but you still managed to keep your movement going. So how is it? Are these kicks, are they not hard, or are you just tough as nails? Tell me.
We'll go ahead and say tough as nails, because days after all the kicks, it's butcher. It hurts. You know, it gets to me in the whole nine. So
I have a question for you about... your toughest fight in the UFC. So what would you say was your toughest fight in the UFC? You got like seven fights, and I've watched all of them. So I have, for myself, I have to say it's the Nathaniel Wood fight. So you struggled a little bit there, but you came around. But tell me about it. What would you say was your toughest fight? It's not a nice question from me, but I have to tell.
No. It's a good question. Like in the UFC, if I would say my toughest fight, between all of them, I guess you can go ahead and say. All right, so me breaking it down, I feel like Martinez was a tough fight.
Yeah.
But Martinez was a tough fight because I broke my arm. Arm bar. So
in the first 10 seconds, right?
Literally the first 10 seconds. And so that made the fight very difficult. Yeah. Because it's one of those, if I had my arm, I knock him out. It's one of those.
You switch stances all the time.
And so it would have been one of those, he would have ended up not passing the second round. And that would have been a full fact. And you can literally see like glimpses of what I was talking about. Even in the first round, you know, he survived it. But the second round, I ended up hurting him, and I hurt him twice. And it was one of those moments where if I would have had my arm, it would have been like a full different story. Now, Nathaniel Woods, I'm not the type of person that ends up coming up with excuses. So, you know, he beat me. He's definitely his night that night. But truth be told, that was like more of a outside inner type problem. Like I am a true believer that your corner or that you got to be comfortable as hell, you know? You got to be comfortable, meaning you got to have the right people in your corner. It's like coming to war. Like, you know, you're not going to bring a guy or a partner to help you in a battle with 10 other people, and you know that your other person that's with you doesn't fight. That becomes you basically either going in there to fight 10 people by yourself, or two, you're going there to fight 10 people and trying to save the person that you know that doesn't fight. Are you with me? So it kind of came into like me having the right corner in my life.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the, you know, I didn't have my comfortability. My comfortability is my brother and my cousin and my coach Tony type thing. You know, it's all about comfortability. And on top of that, I ended up coming down with the flu before I ended up fighting the Daniel.
Okay.
And shit happens. I ended up still taking it. And I didn't know I had the flu until that morning. I was throwing up, like, you know, I was like chucking up. But again, they already know how I am. Nobody. I don't back down from any fights, and even if I'm like dying in my bed, I'll still fight if I'm able to walk. And that's just how it is. Because before I got picked up to the UFC, I ended up fighting Trent Moe with a broken hand. And it was on a 3-week notice, which I actually broke it against Gustavo Lopez and the King of the Cage the year before, or the same year of when I ended up turning pro, so 2018. So broke it all, and I still ended up fighting, and it just covered it up where I ended up fighting with, you know, with the opposite hand type thing. So just how I am. I'm built with a lion heart to end up pushing forward. And if everybody don't know, my spirit animal in the cage is a lion because I got a kid heart, you know. But in these streets, I'm a hummingbird, just simply telling you. I'm amazing.
Okay, so this is your greatest strength. You take it in to be in full mode of like the strength of a lion to go in there, no excuses, and and hoping to finish the fight. Yeah, so this is something that I've heard from you a lot of times, that you're a finisher, but the last three fights. And the last, you're still looking for it, but I'm seeing it, and I'm seeing it. Like I told you before, the you're fast as hell, and you're going with the one and twos, and the left hands. Nobody sees these left hands from you. So I'm just taking it in here and saying, the next fight, you're gonna get it. You're gonna get the finish. So I'm predicting this for you. So this is your biggest strength. I think your left hand is your biggest strength, and that you're fast. And so I'm praying for you that this is gonna work out for you. So another question for me is, which style do you prefer to fight against? Do you take a stand-up fighter, or do you take a wrestler or a grappler? What do you prefer?
If it's I'll definitely sit there and say stand-up. I like guys that stand up. Like a dream fight for me will probably be like a Max Holloway.
Why? Max Holloway. Yeah.
Max, he's not thinking about
in the center.
That. Even though he actually has like decent or really good jits, I believe. But he's going to stand with you. And that's the type of fight that I'm always going to be into. Cause I kind of want to go down as the, like one of the history, like most badass fighter in the UFC, bantamweight that moved up to featherweight. Like, cause I'm going to be going back and forth featherweight at 45 and 35. I'm going to be going up and down. Dream fight would definitely be Max. And even if it's not even a fight, if me and him end up like working with each other, or, you know, training with each other, you know, me kind of like feed off on that, it'll you know, be something amazing. But definitely a stand-up. Wrestlers, those are always cool. Just the fact is in that I'm doing nothing but wrestling, and so wrestlers are always like cool. It's just whoever has that that best type of ordeal, because I already know to basically crush wrestling, got to have like decent jits or really good jits, and that's the same thing. The caress jits, you gotta have really good wrestling. So regardless of the situation, I'm doing both, you know. But what defies me from both of those things is that I got hands, and you know, like I said, I'm very quick, so it ends up crushing that wrestling down. It's just I gotta have to have the footwork to automatically brace it in or take it off. So at the end of the day, I always gonna prefer stand up, because stand up in my eyes.
Mm. So you talked about it moving up to featherweight, and that's my next question. Can you tell me what's your walk around weight? You're a bantamweight, and I'm seeing you like 5'8", a reach like I don't know 76 inches.
I'm not 5'8". They be sitting here, UFC be like, hey, 5'8". I'm literally 5'10 and a half. Like, I was 5'11", but I'm shrinking. So, like I said, the old age is shrinking me down right now.
Okay.
But I'm definitely taller. That's why the reach is, like, so bananas.
Yeah, okay.
But definitely am going to end up moving. I walk around up at, like, if I ain't training or anything, I'm, like, 160. If I'm training and lifting weights, I'm about 59, 58. If I dim down on the heavyweights, I walk around at 54. But okay. I'm still just not like heavy lifting. I'm at 54. And that's me watching what I eat and, you know, yeah. kind of take.
Okay. So you're pretty lean walking around like definitely. A lightweight. So, come on to we're going to the last questions. Outlook into the future for you, the rankings, like we talked about, moving up in weight to featherweight. Maybe I would say you're framed for the lightweight also. No, you don't.
And the funny thing about it is, because I ended up telling the basically like the UFC staff, and you know when you tell somebody like information, they'll let you know like nah man, or oh you tripping. Every one of them jumped on board like, oh, no. Because like you said, I have the body frame to be able to go 35, yeah. 45, 55. And right now, I'm definitely going to do a 55 fight, definitely in my future. And the time that happened, it'll probably be like one of those like type of prize fights type thing, you know. Because my boy Jalen and Roe, they're both at 55 and they're going to kill the game. So, you know, and since we're like teammates and everything, like, you know, that's not even happening. So,
yeah.
If I do go to 55, it'll literally be like one of those super fights. Like, hey, if Connor, like, you know, was back down to 55, I'll definitely fight Connor. If it came down to me fighting, like, Poirier, like, you know, I'm a fan of Poirier. I'm a fan of Connor. Don't get me wrong. But if they both ended up saying, hey, let's go ahead and throw down for, you know, like, get some big-ass money, yeah, definitely. I'm going to end up fighting them. I'm just 55 would be like name-calling. Like, you know, 45 is me basically building up and probably try to definitely go for the belt, try to take the belt. Yeah. 35, take the belt, you know. Yeah. But 55, it'll be that'll be that call out people. I'll just call them out just to say, hey, for the world. Let's just fight for the world, you know. Like, so, you don't even have to take the belt. It's just, I just want to show that I'm able to fight at 55 and I'm one of the best fighters in the game that didn't mind moving up three weight classes, you know.
So this is always a dream of you to fight for the belt and move up in the rankings and move up in weight. So maybe this is the highest dream of you getting interviewed by Joe Rogan after a finish, right? So you talked about it, and so you said you were a little hurt that he is not interviewing. That I didn't know why he wasn't. So.
And that's the thing. And it's like, because back then, like, you know, people end up understanding. Because, you know, this whole UFC thing is about fan bases and everything, you know.
Yeah.
Picture if I would have jumped on the mic after me beating Martinez. You know, granted, if you felt like I won or a lot. Like, a lot of people know that I won. You rewatch it and put it on mute and don't listen to Joe. People felt that, you know that I ended up winning. He knows that I ended up winning. But it is what it is. So in the fight, he ends up talking to me. Everybody would have known that I broke my ulnar bone. Like, you know, like, hey, it was broken in the first round. And that right there would have just turned into a historical moment of, hey, this dude has heart and he'll definitely fight. I want to follow him, you know. And then now it's just one of those things like, you know, people end up backing me up or following me or kind of like, you know, moving up in a different direction. So, but again, that was the night that I was supposed to have my first finish. But that happened. And then Irwin, that was supposed to be my next finish, but Irwin is tough as nails. The mad heart and, you know, with another being pushing him forward. So at the end of the day, that's what happened with him. And then the last one, I had my chance, just didn't basically capitalize on it, but it is what it is, you know. And that's, like I said, me falling into a knee kind of drifted everything, or me falling into, like, the kick. Drifted everything, and then the second round I was kind of more jits mentality, where I should have been my old self of striking mentality. And if I would have did my striking, different outcome of a fight. But again, at the end of the day, we're not perfect, but we aim to be perfect in these fights. And that's
so Before I let you go, I have a last question about your time that you used for getting your tattoos done. So you have a really grand back tattoo, and you put all the in the front, you put it all there. So how was that, and was this always a plan to do? And I'm telling you, it looks very, very good. And this is my last question for you, so I'm gonna have to let you go after that, and you be going to training.
About finished. About to go eat. I got me and the lady and my son, so it's bonding family time. But it was always a plan. You know, I am definitely into art. I am fascinated with art, man. Yeah. Tattoos, everything, and then just like certain Asian culture type thing, because you know me, I'm Buddhist type thing, you know, and I fell into growing up like basically certain things that end up saving people's lives or keep people in a straight line, and it was like a samurai mentality type of way, like the whole King of the Monkeys type thing, you know, the Wukong type story of life. I grew up off on that, and it was only right for all that to be basically placed on what I believed in and what I ended up growing up with, you know? So it was a plan to honestly have that, especially the tattoo on my back, and I'm not even done. I'm actually supposed to work on my rib, but I want to fight two more times and then jump on the rib. And I'll probably do it like after the summer, because the sun and me don't really click with tattoos. So I don't want to end up waiting after the summer. So I end up touching up on my ribs and basically finish up off on my leg, so I can have more of a completed state. And then when I finally get this plate out of my arm, I'll end up finishing my right arm. But more tattoos is going to be what I'm into, but I end up loving tattoos. So that's all it is.
All right. So thank you, Andre, for this interview. And I'm going to let you go on to your training and to your eating. And hopefully you get a fight in the next 1 or 2 months. Maybe short notice, and hoping for the best for you for the future, moving up in weight and going to the big fights against Max Holloway and Dustin and Connor. And so we hear from you, and have a great day.
All right, thank you, brother. Thank you for having me. Till next time.
Bye.